Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, January 23rd edition of the MLB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my good buddy here, Cole Shelton, for take two of this edition of the podcast. Cole, we tried to do the podcast, and then unfortunately, the internet didn't cooperate, just completely shut down the podcast. So I really apologize to anyone who was tuning in. We got to start again, though. Unfortunately, we lost everything. So sorry about that, Cole. Sorry to the viewers, but it wasn't anyone's fault. Just completely shut down. So we're starting again right now. And we'll go through it from the top, just like we did. So once again, Cole, let's start with Justin Gaethje here. And what he was saying was he did an interview saying that Conor McGregor is going to fight him now. He believes that McGregor has the confidence to go in there and fight Justin Gaethje. What are your thoughts on that?
It's definitely interesting because John Kavanaugh said they want Gaethje as next opponent. I think Gaethje needs to fight. He can't keep on waiting. I think he knows he needs to fight. Like, there's a lot of options. I don't think Conor Masvidal is going to happen anymore. I think Masvidal Usman's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Conor wants to be active. I don't think he's going to wait until September, October to fight the winner of Khabib Tony. I think Gaethje's right there. I think Gaethje makes sense. But the thing that's going to be a question mark is, will Gaethje go up to 170? Because Kavanaugh and McGregor's camp said they don't want to have to cut to 155 unless it's for title fights. They want Gaethje at welterweight.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely a good fight. But it's going to be interesting to see if that is true, because McGregor Gaethje, that's one hell of a fight to headline any card.
Yeah, it's a sick fight. I mean, my thing with this is, first off, I would love to see the fight. I love Justin Gaethje, love Conor McGregor. Both guys are amazing. Stylistically, Cole, that's a great fight for the fans. But my problem with the fight is, from the UFC standpoint, why would they book this fight? Like, Gaethje's not a superstar. He's not Khabib. He's not Masvidal. He doesn't sell like those guys. So to me, like, Conor's going to kind of dictate what happens next. I just don't think he'll fight Gaethje. It's too risky, Cole. It's too much risk and not enough reward, in my opinion. Like, he's better off fighting guys like Cerrone and even Poirier in some instances. I think Poirier is just as big of a fight in many ways. So for me, it's just, there's a lot of moving parts, Cole. They have to kind of wait to see what happens with Tony and Khabib. I mean, I hate to say it, Cole, but it's possible someone could get hurt and that fight could not happen and we could get Conor fight for the belt. That's, I think, what the UFC is kind of waiting on, to see if someone gets hurt. You know, if it's me, I'm going to book Conor against Masvidal, because I think you could still have Conor fight Masvidal in March. I know they just announced that card with Romero and Adesanya. Could they change it and add Conor in the main event and then have like the two title fights underneath it? I think they could, you know, so we'll see what happens here. But, you know, as much as I want to see Gaethje fight McGregor, I just can't see it happening. Next up, let's talk about Macy Barber's father. Her father just completely discredited Roxanne Modafferi for her victory over Barber, and Modafferi responded, basically saying that, you know, that's what dads do. They protect their daughters. Just your thoughts on this, Cole, because I really didn't like the comments from her father, Bucky.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. Macy's surrounded by her whole family. Like, Bucky's her manager. Her brother's her main training partner. I don't like the comment at all, because she basically just said, oh, Roxy only won because of the injury. The injury happened in the second round. I don't know where he keeps on saying it happened in the first 10 seconds. She was moving perfectly fine. Her knee was not buckling whenever she took a shot in the entire first round. Second round on, every time she took a shot, her knee buckled. So if it happened in the first 10 seconds, her knee would have buckled every single time, just like this third round, second round. And yep, that first round, Modafferi dominated on the feet, dominated on the ground. Like, there was, just after that first round, like, it gave Modafferi huge confidence that she had what it takes to win. She was the better fighter all around. So
yep,
I think the injury had nothing to do with it. If she was completely healthy, I think Modafferi would have won the fight, because Modafferi is a tough girl to finish. She's only ever been knocked out by a slam. So yep, I don't think Barber would have been able to finish her, and I think Modafferi would have cruised to a decision win.
You mentioned that last week when we did the breakdown. You mentioned that exact fact that she'd never been knocked out by punches before. You know, I just think her experience and her wrestling really was the difference here. And I don't, honestly, even though I thought Barber would win the fight, Cole, if I saw this fight again, obviously I would pick Roxanne, you know, even against a healthy Macy Barber. I just think it was a bad matchup for her. It turned out to be a really bad one. But I just really didn't like her father's comments, you know, discrediting the win. It's just, it's not right. And, you know, he's just one of these guys that's, you know, feeding his daughter a bunch of BS. Like, she was really starting to believe her own hype and saying she's going to become the youngest champion of history. She's going to break John Jones's record. At this point, she just looks like a dime a dozen fighter, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I hope she has a better career than, like, someone like Paige VanZant, Cole. I really do. I hope she's not just a flash in the pan. You know, I saw a lot of potential out of this girl. I still think with her aggressiveness and her knockout power, she can go far in the sport. But this was a learning experience, and sometimes young fighters need to go through these kind of things to get better. All right, next up, Frost Hobby. He says he wants to see McGregor versus Nate Diaz at 165, Cole, for that inaugural belt. What are your thoughts on that? Because, first off, I love the idea of another title at 165. I just think it makes a lot of sense. And for me, like, this is a very easy fight for the UFC to book. It's an easy matchup as far as making money goes. And it's a trilogy fight that, you know, both guys are 1-1, and it'd be a fun fight. But I feel like it's a backup plan in case, like, the Masvidal or Khabib fights don't get made. What do you think, Cole?
I don't think 165 happens, at least for a while. Dana White's been so reluctant about it. So I don't think that happens. I think Diaz McGregor 3 makes sense. I don't think it makes sense right now. I think that's a fight you can always do with McGregor coming off a loss. Even if McGregor and Diaz are both coming off losses, it's still a card that can still fight. They can headline pay-per-view card and be a big sell. To me, there's a much more interesting fight. There's Masvidal if Masvidal doesn't fight Usman. There's Usman, there's Khabib, there's Gaethje. You can even throw Poirier ahead of Diaz right now. Like, that trilogy fight, I think it's going to happen. I think Connor's been vocal about it, saying, like, that trilogy fight will happen. I just don't think it happens now, but I think maybe this time next year that we're talking about the setup for Connor Nate 3.
Yeah, I feel like it was a little bit more likely had Connor lost to Cerrone, then you could have easily booked the Diaz the trilogy fight. That would have made a lot of sense, Cole. But yeah, I think McGregor's just got too many options right now. I don't blame Frost for saying this, though, and suggesting it. Michael Bisping said the same thing the other day. He thinks Nate Diaz is going to be next. But yeah, I really think it's going to be either Masvidal or Khabib, Cole. Hopefully it's Masvidal. I think that's the fight we want to see. I think it's the fight most people want to see. And we'll see what happens there. Next up, Darren Till. So last week, Dana White said at the press conference after UFC 246, Darren Till injured ankle, and that's why he's not fighting Cannonier at 248. But now Till's saying he still wants to fight Cannonier. He says he's fine. It's like a contract thing. So do you have any inside information on this one, Cole? And who do we believe in this spot?
I don't. Cannonier still thinks he's going to fight. He's preparing for a fight. I think if they can't get Till, he'll just be a backup fighter. He'll be in Vegas. They'll pay him to cut weight just in case Romero, because Romero's missed weight a ton. Romero's missed weight, what, twice in a title fight? The interim against Rockhold, then the undisputed against Whitaker. So definitely a possibility. I think you kind of have to believe Till that it's his contract, because Dana White is never going to take the fighter side. He's always going to blame the fighter for pulling out or not agreeing to a fight. I think it might have to do something with money and being short notice that Till probably wants a raise, because he's not getting a full camp for this. He might be hurt. So he's saying, if I'm going in this fight hurt, I need to be paid better. So it's going to be interesting to see if they get it done. I hope the fight gets done, because it just added insurance, and then Cannonier and Till will both get paid for a fight, even though, say, Romero misses, that Cannonier would probably step in, but at least he can prepare for a fight and not just have to go through a weight cut. And at the end of the day, have nothing for it.
He was the backup fighter at UFC 243, right? Wasn't he there?
244, Till Gaslam, because Till Visa, they didn't know.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'd like to see him still fight in this card, a guaranteed fight, Cole. I mean, Gaslam, you know, I know he's coming off the loss to Till, but why not Canada versus Gaslam? The guy's got to stay busy. You know, I know he wouldn't probably mind getting paid to cut weight and just be ready, Cole, but just say Romero does make weight, then Cannonier's not going to fight again. Like, the guy's got to stay active and fight. To be honest, Cole, merit-wise, he probably deserves a title shot more than Romero, but I think he needs one more big win. The Till fight would have been perfect, or the Whitaker fight would have been even better, actually. But yeah, I'd rather see him fight someone. Like, even if it has to be someone a little bit ranked lower, like Gaslam, to me, it's just better to keep him on the card against someone. But we'll see what happens there. A signing here, Cole, Thiago Alves, signing with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. We knew he was a free agent. He was basically looking for the best deal. It looks like Bare Knuckle is going to pay him more money than Bellator or PFL would. What are your thoughts on this one, Cole? Because I was a little surprised when I saw it.
I think he would have been a great fit for PFL. PFL's trying to revamp their entire roster. I think it's the CEO or someone high up, or president, someone basically came out and said they're looking to turn over 50 to 75% of the roster because they knew. That was the problem. Season one was so hyped. Like, it was so good. Season two, it was basically all the same fighters, except there was like about one or two new fighters in each division. You can't have that. I think you need to have the champ and the runner up, and everyone else is completely new. So I think he would have been a good fit in PFL. PFL's welterweight division is one of the best. They have Rory McDonald, they have Cooper. Alves would have been a guy that probably wouldn't have won, but he's a name. You can always market it, former UFC title challenger. He's a guy people know that I think PFL should have signed, but Bare Knuckle's going to be interesting. It seems like Bare Knuckle paid the most, so I don't know how much he is getting paid.
I'm just surprised that they opened the purse here, because where are they getting the money from, Cole? Like, they must have some backers or something. Like, you know more about Bare Knuckle than me. Like, where's all the money coming from?
I have no idea. I think they have a lot of sponsors. I know Feldman, he is a business guy, so I think he has a lot of money from his business, but they are signing a lot of people, but I think a lot of people they do sign are just unknown guys that they don't pay a lot. So I think that frees up a lot of money for higher up names.
I'm just a little confused by this for Alves, because like Cole, what's his best attributes? His leg kicks. Like he can't use them anymore, right?
His best game is kicking. So that's why like he wasn't a huge brawler. He wasn't a big puncher. It was kicking was his best thing.
For what I read, like he wasn't getting the offers he wanted in MMA. Like I guess Bellator and PFL just weren't giving him the money the UFC did. But he said he was making over $100,000 a fight, Cole. He said he's been making six figures a fight for the last 10 years. So that's not disclosed, I don't think. But yeah, I guess that they just thought there wasn't worth it. I guess Bare Knuckle did. Let's go to a question here from Marcus. Do you think Cerrone's performance and game plan for McGregor would have been better if Cerrone was still with Justin Wink? Maybe, man. I just think it was a bad matchup for Marcus, honestly, buddy. I just think that at this point of Cerrone's career, he's taking so much damage, Cole, fighting a fresh McGregor who was really motivated, really aggressive. I don't think a camp change would have changed anything, Cole. What do you think?
I don't think a camp change would have been prepared for those shoulder strikes. Like, who is trying to defend shoulder strikes? No one knows they're coming. And a broken orbital and nose, right when that happens, your whole game plan kind of gets thrown out the window because there's a lot of pain in your face. Your eye's going to swell up because of the orbital. Like, and then he got cracked to the head kick right when they separated. Like, it was just so quick. And I don't think Cerrone, I think any coach could have been in there. And I think it would have been probably around the same result after those shoulder strikes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Cole. Honestly, to me, it was just a bad matchup. All right, speaking of matchup, let's get to some new fight announcements, Cole. And there's some pretty good ones here. Let's start with this one. I love this fight. I know Marcus does too, because I saw your tweet to Nick there yesterday, Marcus, asking about the line. Man, great fight here, Cole. Derek Brunson against Edmund Shahbazyan at UFC 248. This is a fight that I suggested myself. It just made a lot of sense looking at the rankings. Shahbazyan deserved to step up. Brunson's available. Brunson's like the gatekeeper to like the top 10 right now. Great fight, Cole. I love this matchup. I really favor Shahbazyan, though. I think he probably knocks Derek Brunson out in the first round. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really high on Edmund Shahbazyan. I've been really high on him for a while. I think this is a good step up. After Shabazian's fight, we both said Brunson makes a lot of sense. Brunson's only lost to a lot of the top guys. If you look who he's lost to, he's only lost to champions or title contenders. Like, I think Shahbazyan is that next guy in middleweight. I think he's a force at middleweight. I think he's going to land one of those head kicks, wobble Brunson, and finish him off via ground and pound.
Just like the Whitaker fight, huh? Yeah, you know, he's only 22, Cole. Like, this guy's a super prospect, man. It's funny because he trained under Edmund, who is just not a very well-liked and well-respected coach. But this kid looks like the real deal, man. He really does. And Ronda Rousey's retired now, but she's managing him. And I think she's going to help him out and give him the advice he needs to kind of get farther in his career. I think this kid's going to go the whole way, Cole. I really think he'll be fighting for the title before the end of this year or next year. I think he can get there. Does he beat Adesanya? I don't know. But I think he does beat some of the other guys in the top 10, Cole. I think if he fought Kelvin Gastelum, I think I'd pick Edmund right now, honestly. But I'd like to see him fight Brunson. It's the perfect step up. And then he could fight someone like Gastelum or Till. And then you can get up to the top guys like Whitaker, Romero, and then the champs. So I think he'll probably need like two or three more wins, Cole. But this is a really good test for him. Brunson's a strong wrestler. He's a very gritty guy. He's able to face. But I just think that the chin's going to fail him here with Edmund's power. So that's my prediction for that, although we have till March to actually predict that fight. A rebooking here, Chas Skelly versus Grant Dawson. That was supposed to happen at last week, I think, at 246 Goal. Yeah. And don't know exactly what happened. You can talk about that in a sec, but it's been rescheduled for UFC Norfolk next month. Do you know exactly what happened? I know Dawson, I believe, pulled out.
Nevada drug testing. From the commission. They pulled it. It wasn't USADA related. That's why I can fight so soon. It was the commission didn't like something. You still have to favor Grant Dawson. I favor Grant Dawson, the 246 fight. I still think he's going to be able to beat Chas Skelly. This is a tough test for Dawson, though, but I'm really high on Dawson. I think he'll get a win here.
I feel the same way, man. I like these. These are the kind of matchups the UFC's really good at making, like prospect versus gatekeeper. Perfect fight. Next up here, Paige VanZant's hurt again, Cole. I woke up and I saw a Combachi tweet about this. I don't speak Portuguese. I don't read it, but I saw the tweet and I was like, I'm pretty sure that says she's injured. Did the translation, and yes, she's hurt. So Amanda Ribas will now be fighting Random Marcos at UFC Brasilia in March. Just first, give me your thoughts on Paige VanZant getting hurt again, and then give me your thoughts on this fight.
I wonder if the UFC just cuts her now. Like,
I don't think so, man. They're going to force her to fight that last fight in her contract.
Yeah, and now that they can't even force her to fight Barbara because she's not going to wait that long to fight Barbara. Because even if Barbara lost, they could have said, all right, you're fighting Barbara now.
Or, you know what, Cole? Barbara would have been better off fighting Paige.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't happen. I think Paige was the one who turned it down.
Right? Yeah.
Can't remember.
But
anyways, give me Marcos and Rebus.
You have to go Amanda Rebus. Randa Marcos is just way too inconsistent. She beats a lot of girls you don't expect her to beat, and then she loses to a lot of girls you expect her to lose to. Like against Angela Hill, she submitted Angela Hill in the first round. No one saw that coming. And then against Claudia Gadelha, that was her big step up, and she put on an absolute terrible performance. She didn't do much of anything. That was her shot to be a top five in the strawweight division. She's like a 500 fighter in the UFC. She just alternate wins and losses. I think Amanda Rebus smokes her here and gets a win. Probably a finish, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. Rebus looked great against Durham, man. She looked really good in that fight, strong. Marcos, win-loss. That inconsistency, I think, will cost her, especially in Brazil. It's a good step up for Amanda Rebus. From Dern, I think Marcos is a better fighter at this point, but I do like Rebus. I was impressed with what I saw. Next up, we got Laureano Steropoli against Phil Rowe at UFC Columbus. Any thoughts on this fight, Cole? Laureano Steropoli is coming off he had a nice win over Alves. I was there for that fight, but I think he lost his last fight, right?
Yeah, he lost to Salikov.
Yeah, so he's 2-1 now.
I think Steropoli is going to win this fight. Like, I think Rowe's guy on the contender series, they shouldn't have signed. Like, just look at his record. Look who he's fought. He fought 0-1, 1-1, 0-1, 0-3, 1-2, 4-5. And then he fought Leon Shabazian, who was 7-1. But Leon Shabazian was fighting a lot of guys that were like 0-4, 1-5. So he wasn't that good. Like, I just think Steropoli is way too much of a step up. I think he's going to beat Philip Rowe.
Yeah, Rowe, you know, he's looked good, though. I got to give the guy credit. He lost his first two fights. He's turned it around since then. But like you said, Cole, look at the level of competition. Like, look at these guys' records, 1-2, 0-3, 0-1. Sabazian's brother, Leon, Edmonds' brother, I should say. Leon, you know, he's an okay prospect. He's not in Edmonds' caliber, though, Cole. I do like Steropoli here, too. I'm just a little confused why it's in Columbus. I thought they would do this fight in South America. Steropoli's from Argentina, but it is what it is. UFC 249, interesting fight here, Cole. Your boy, Kama Worthy against Otman Azatar, an Ali Abdelaziz client. Any thoughts on this fight? Kama Worthy coming off arguably the upset of the year over Devontae Smith.
I'd probably favor Azatar. I know Worthy's coming off the win over Smith. It was a big upset. Azatar's good, though. Like, you saw what he did at 242. He had that massive win, the knockout win. He was really good and brave. He was finishing everyone. I think this is a fight he could probably finish Kama Worthy. Kama Worthy's been finished a lot, but you can never count out Kama Worthy, especially after that win over Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I'm with you. But you know what, Cole? The fact this guy's an Ali client and Ali usually gets his prospects like good matchups, you got to think that they saw something in Kama Worthy. They think he could probably finish him. Oddman is 12-0, 11 wins by stoppage, Cole. He knocked out Paclin in brutal fashion. You know, Worthy, like you said, Cole, you can't – if the line's going to be crazy like it is last time, maybe it's worth a shot on this guy again. But I don't know if he could pull off another upset like this, Cole. So, yeah, I think you got to favor Azatar there. And then just the last fight here, Cole, Jack Shore versus Geraldo De Freitas at UFC London. Kind of a random matchup, but Jack Shore, a pretty good prospect coming out of England, Wales, I should say. Give me your thought on that fight, Cole.
You got to go with Jack Shore, probably by submission, too. Jack Shore, I am really high on him. He's a really good – he was really good in Cage Warriors. I talked to him a bunch. Like, I'm really high on Jack Shore. I think he could be a top five contender in bantamweight really soon. I think his ground game and his strike, like his just overall game, he's been really improving his striking. His ground game is really impressive. I think he can take this fight down the ground, probably submit him, get another win.
Yeah, that division's just so stacked, Cole. You got him, you got his fellow United Kingdom buddy there, Nathaniel Wood. That guy's sick. Like, there's some good prospects in that division, Cole. Really good prospects. I would definitely fear Jack Shore. De Freitas is kind of a plug, I think. But yeah, looking at the bantamweight division, Cole, like, these guys aren't like Nathaniel Wood is somehow, Cole, he's not even ranked in the top 15, which I'm a little surprised by, but I guess he hasn't beaten anyone notable. They do have Casey Kenny ranked at 15. I would pick Wood over Kenny, though, wouldn't you, if they fought?
Yeah, I think Wood's going to get ranked after he fights Dodson at that Rio Rancho card.
Dodson's the one guy that's probably going to follow that division, man. I can't see him sticking around the rank. He's getting older now. He doesn't knock people out anymore. I don't know, like, how much he's got left in the tank. All right, so that's it for fight announcements, Cole. Now, if anyone has any last questions, throw them in here. We'll answer them. Let's talk about some other news, Cole. I saw you put that article on BJ Penn, the Curtis Millender page thing. So that's pretty funny. You think that fight happens at some point, though? Like, I feel like there is some heat now that they're talking about it.
Yeah, like, he basically said Rory McDonald's his dream fight. That's why he wants to go to PFL. He says the $1 million. But he goes, if Bellator offers Michael Page, he said he's staying in Bellator. Like, he said his career won't be finished unless he gets a chance to slap and clown Michael Page, which is pretty funny. So It's definitely a test. If Michael Page can get past Curtis Millender, like, he's that's a big win for Page. But Millender's biggest weak, like, where Millender struggled in the UFC was his wrestling. Where Page struggles is wrestling. Neither of them are going to wrestle. It's going to be a striking fight. It would be an interesting fight. I think it should happen. It makes sense for Bellator to do it. Two big names going up against each other for Bellator in the welterweight division. Like, I hope it happens, but the way Page is accepting fights, I doubt it would happen.
He's just going to fight guys that no one's ever heard of and keep beating these guys that are just so below his level. I know you like watching Page fight. I get so bored watching the guy fight. Let him fight Paul Daly and let him fight Douglas Neal. Let him fight Lawrence Larkin. I don't want to see him fight guys like Shinzo Anzai. It's so boring. Not for me. Uriah Faber, Cole, he says he's like uncommitted to fighting again. He says he did resign with the UFC. He's renegotiated his deal, but he's just not sure if he wants to fight again after the Peter Yan fight. I was there for that fight, Cole. He absolutely smashed in that fight. And really, Peter Yan should be fighting for the belt next, but we know what happened there. But yeah, I mean, Faber, 40 years old now, Cole, coming off a bad knockout loss. Does he fight again, Cole, or is this it?
I think if he fights again, it's going to be Dillashaw when Dillashaw comes back from suspension, but I don't know if he ever fights again. Like, Yan was, if he beat Yan, that was a shot to get the title shot. He's so far back from a title shot, he's going to need like 3-4 wins, especially at bantamweight. I don't think he fights that long. I think he's just going to do big fights. Like, if Cruz wants to fight him again, if Aldo wants to fight him, I think he's just going to be that. Like, he'll be there for a big fight, but he's not going to be active. Like, it might just be like once a year if Cruz or Aldo's coming off loss and say, hey, Faber, let's fight. I think he'll do it, but I think he's probably done.
Yeah, I mean, the Cruz fight, the Dillashaw fight, those are the kind of the guys he was calling out. I don't know, Cole. Like, I know he looked good at Samoan. I got to give him credit for that, but the last fight was like, it kind of showed like where he's at compared to these younger, faster guys. Let's just do a few other things here. Mike Perry, Abe Caldwell, was kind of defending him a little bit, just basically saying, like, you know, Mike Perry grew up in a different part of town and we shouldn't, you know, criticize the guy for his use of the N-word. But I don't know if you can really defend it, Cole. As soon as I saw the headline and it said manager condones use of the N-word, but he understands it. Like, I was like, how could you even say but there? Like, the guy was clearly in the wrong.
Yeah, you cannot defend that at all. Like, that's a word you never say.
Absolutely, Cole. It's stupid. So, you know, Mike Perry is, he's like a popular fighter and I get it. And, you know, some people thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was just so tasteless. And, you know, I can't imagine he'd be actually making fans with that kind of a comment. So, you know, Abe's job as a manager is to defend his client. But at the same time, I think in this case, he probably should just said, you know, we condone the use of his language. And I've talked to Mike in private and he's assured me he won't say that kind of stuff again on social media. But instead, he was kind of like, well, the guy's, you know, this is where he grew up and this is the kind of like life he's led. But I don't know about that, Cole. You know, love Kawa. Those guys are great. Mike Perry's a very funny guy and you know, he's a popular guy, Cole. But in this case, he was 100% wrong. I just don't agree with it. And honestly, I don't think it was his first time saying it either. I remember he said something like a little while ago to Tyron Woodley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and he claimed he's 2% African, so he can say it.
So stupid. That's so dumb, Cole. So disrespectful. All right, Marcus, I would not be surprised to see if Uriah Faber waits for TJ for his next fight. Yeah, that's what Cole thinks. It's definitely a possibility. It'd be an interesting name. I mean, TJ is obviously a better fighter, but with the juice, Cole, without the juice, like, who knows, right? When is TJ coming back? Like, his suspension's up soon, isn't it?
Next January. So, like,
what? 2 years? I thought it got 1 year. Okay. Yeah. 2 years, eh? That makes sense. So, next January, huh? I thought it was 1 year for some reason. I don't know why I thought that. Let me double check here, bro. No, Cole, it says, Yeah. So you got a 12-month from the New York State Athletic Commission and 2 years from USADA. That makes sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid that the New York gave a 1 year, Cole. That's so dumb. So he'll be eligible to return January 19, 2021. That could be the fight you see when you get back. It's unfortunate what this guy did to his career. He ruined his career, Cole. To me, he was like a lock to be a Hall of Famer one day. Like, I really think he was that good. And I think that the drug test tainted his whole career, Cole, because there was like rumors for a while that TJ was on the juice. And I think some of his ex-teammates said he was taking some stuff and they would come out one day and then we saw him get caught. So
even in that lead up to the Garbrandt fight, Garbrandt said, you were showing everyone at Team Alpha how to use EPO. And it's kind of funny that that's what he got caught doing, is maybe he was doing it for all those years.
I agree. I didn't bring this up yesterday in the podcast, but there was the picture of floating around David Brand, the former UFC middleweight. And you sent it to me and you're like, check this out, right? That guy's freaking juicing like crazy. I mean, I think he retired now, right? Like, he got suspended. I don't think he's gonna fight again. But my
he God. Fought somewhere in like Russia or something, and he lost.
Did he? Oh man, he's bricked up though, eh? Like,
oh yeah.
Did he actually fight? Oh my God. Oh, he did. He fought Shlemenko. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Last month, I did not even see that fight. Okay. He fought Shlemenko and lost by submission. I thought, okay, so he's been suspended. He won't be fighting in the States again.
Maybe Ryzen signs him just for like a joke fight, but he is juiced up to the max.
Oh, he is. He absolutely is. And we already knew he was, but now like, this picture is hilarious. Anyways, any other news you want to talk about, Cole, before we get out of here? Anything else?
No, I think that's everything.
All right, Cole, plug your stuff and let's get out of here.
Twitter, @ColeSean91. Milliner page things up with BJ Penn. Fighter picks for Cyborg Bud will be up soon. Yesterday, the fighter picks for Dos Santos Blades. Everything else is always on my Twitter.
Cool. Thanks, Cole, for joining me today, man. As always, on short notice. And then for me, guys, check me on Twitter at MMMattamMartin. And the podcast is at my home, MMAOddsBreaker.com. And also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. I will be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Until then, guys, have a great Thursday. And we'll talk to you soon. Once again, Cole, thanks for joining me, buddy. Guys, have a great day. See you soon. Bye.